turn your attention to the afternoon session. We have roadblocks or stepping stones. This lady comes from the last place we had an in-person convention. Where was that? Las Vegas, Nevada. And she is a board member, and she's a scholarship chair. And as returning student completing her bachelor's degree in psychology and neuroscience, Regina came to know about the National Federation of the Blind through an annual NFB National Scholarship Program. She experienced her first national convention as a 2017 scholarship cohort and winner, receiving an Oracle STEM scholarship. Just noticing a pattern here of how people get into the NFB. Since being a national scholarship winner, Regina has been involved in local chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Nevada as the Southern Chapter Vice President and President 2018 and 20 through 2020, currently serving NFB of Nevada as affiliate board member and scholarship committee chair. Let's welcome Regina Mitchell.
Stone by stone, yeah. Brick by brick, oh, yeah. Step by step, as I'm taking it. Step by. Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here. I hope you guys got your tummies full and you're feeling good. And that stretch, that was a nice fit break we had right before we left. I like that YMCA. I even downloaded it, so thank you. I need to have sometimes a recharge, but thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me, Madam President. I just am blown away for this opportunity. I also, on behalf of the National Federation of the Blind of Nevada and our affiliate president, Terry Rupp, we want to congratulate and much successes on your 65th state convention. So we are representing, and thank you for having us here on this day. When I spoke with Jennifer, and she informed me that your theme was turning obstacles into opportunities, I had to kind of go back in my mind about a beloved book that I read over 30 years ago. It's a small book, and the author's name is Hannah Hornard, and it's called Hinds Feet on High Places. And there's a quote, one of my favorite quotes, and it states, she had the feeling that somehow in the very far off places, perhaps even a far off ages, there would be a meaning found to all the sorrow and an answer too fair and wonderful to be as yet understood. And that has kind of been my life. Hinds Feet on High Places is an allegorical novel. It represents and follows a story of a female deer that is disfigured as well as her feet are slow to move. And as a deer, that would be a hindrance, because she was unable to get above the high places. So she was very fearful. And then she met many people along the way that discouraged her from becoming what she really wanted to be. So that's pretty much my life story. But however, in the story, she becomes a shepherdess. And she becomes a shepherdess to the chief shepherd. So when I read this book almost 30 years ago, I had no idea that it would really be one of the sources that I would refer back to. So my theme or my title is roadblocks or stumbling blocks or stepping stone. So whichever we choose, that's kind of how our heart will be led. I've been married to my husband, Stan, now for 36 years, right? Okay. Yes. Yeah, so it speaks to on a lot of levels. It speaks to loyalty, to perseverance, to stick-to-itiveness, to love, compassion, understanding, and lots of trials, but yet lots of victories. If you can imagine 36 years every single day of those 36 years. We did get married and we moved to British Columbia, Canada. And then we were there for 15 years. After we were there, then we moved for five of those years into Canada, I'm sorry. And then I faced a tragedy. And as always, my husband is very supportive. And one thing he said to me was, Gina, what is it, if you could do anything in the world, what would it be? I immediately knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a chef. So he found an amazing school for me. So I attended and graduated from the Seattle Culinary Academy. I graduated at the top of my class, earning amazing accolades, which advanced me to apply for a British fellowship. The British, thank you. The British fellowship initially was supposed to be for 6 months and then extended, for 18 months. I traveled, worked, and lived and studied under the tutelage of master chefs. I lived and worked in Scotland, London, Barcelona, Rome, Japan, Cannes, the French Riviera, back home to the United States. And then I worked with Emeril Lagasse, Julia Child, Anne Willen, Marcella Hazan, any kind of celebrity chef you can think of, I've worked with them. I've worked TV behind the scenes at the networks. I've co-authored a few of their cookbooks. I was a rising star. And I also created a niche for myself in the culinary community where I was an entrepreneur and did team buildings for Fortune 500 companies. My clients were Glaxo Welcome, Bon Appetit, Starbucks Seattle's Best Coffee, Microsoft, Alaska Airlines corporate executives. So I did team buildings for them. I did their cooking team buildings. I got a call and then went on an interview to MGM Grand Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. There, I traded in my knives and I stepped into the hospitality industry where I was a butler, a lead butler to the what we call global nomads, celebrities, and the works. So I've worked with top celebrities, boxers, whatever you can name it, governors, royalists, being in their personal space and doing personalized services. In the year 2012, I had a severe eye pain in my right eye on a trip to Arizona. The eye bothered me, but as soon as it started, it left. When I came home for that weekend trip, when I went to get dressed for work, I felt like someone hit me in the eye with a bat. I doubled over in pain, and my husband took me to emergency. They said nothing was wrong. I was fine. They gave me some eye drops and sent me home. Slowly, my eyes started to decrease in my sight. For the next several weeks, they just treated it with eye drops until one intern referred me to UCLA Medical Center, the Jewel Stein Eye Research Institute, where a renowned panuveitis specialist, Dr. Levinson, diagnosed and treated me with bilateral panuveitis and sarcoidosis. Along with that treatment included a small dosage of a monthly chemotherapy treatment. After that, my doctors would not release me to go back to my job, my career, which I had established over years. So no longer could I cook nor work in the hospitality industry. Everything that I knew that I had worked for was gone. I was in my 50s and I seemed like I had nothing. I had loss of my eyesight, loss of my career, loss of my independence, and my car keys were taken. My driver's license was now converted into a state ID. And now they tell me to go home and figure stuff out. Okay, so what did I do? My husband again asked me, Gina, if you can do anything in the world, what would it be? And I said, I want to go back to school. So that's what I did. I enrolled into UNLV. And for the next 5 years, I pursued my undergrad degree. Now, little did I know that I was really a blind student. It comes with a whole nother set of issues. So turning obstacles into opportunity. I stepped into the DRC. I had no clue of what accessible technology even meant. I had no idea what reformatting my textbooks meant. I had no idea of what instructional materials and not being able to see the blackboard nor my teacher meant. There were sometimes I would go into class and I say, is the teacher here? Where's the teacher? Oh, they're right there. Oh. So I was facing enormous adjustments. Not only was I a student, but I was also a full-time patient, a full-time wife, and a full-time mother. So now, am I going to let this be a stumbling block, or is this going to be a stepping stone? Well, I have lived my life in all of my situations and all of my adversities as stepping stones. So I was in my junior year, I had no more money to pay for school. I literally Googled blind student scholarships. There I found the National Federation of the Blind. I applied, I met with Terry Rupp, who was the state president. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know what the National Federation of the Blind was. So filled out the application. I feel like I can represent myself well. No one knows me better than myself. So I wrote my letter and there it was. They called me and I was one of the finalists. There I was able to, in my very first convention in Florida, to meet students just like myself. There I was handed mentors that were blind and low vision like myself. I didn't have to explain who I was or what I could see. It was always like, oh, Gina, you look like you can see. What can you see? What can't you see? And my favorite thing is the people that are fully sighted and they always say, Gina, what can you see? I always want to say, well, you want to see how much I can see? Give me your car keys, okay? Now you'll be able to see how much I can see. But one of my mentors is sitting right here next to me, Scott Labar. He was one of my mentors in my 2017 cohort. And we learned so much. From there, we learn independence. From there, we learn the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind, that what our blindness is not a hindrance to us, that it is actually something very positive, which I never understood. But what my blindness has done for me is given me more richness in life. When I went back, I graduated from UNLV with a psychology and a neuroscience minor. I stepped back into my community and assisted in the Blind Connect Mobility Training Center and thought, you know what? I'm a chef. I'm going to step in and I'm going to help blind and low vision people to cook. Not only am I going to teach them to cook, but I am going to give them the tools and the techniques and the tips that a master chef knows. Not only to take something, but now to build something amazing, that they can now have food that's sustainable, that's healthy, that's great, that's fun, and that's wholesome. So then the pandemic struck. Okay, so now what do? Everything is taken. Now there's no connectivity. How am I going to bring connectivity back as far as cooking? Everything else is back on Zoom, but what about cooking? So I thought about it and I just prayed about it. How am I going to make this happen? I know that the Lord has given me an insight to be intuitive and to be creative. So help me think through this. So I said, you know what? I'm going to put it on Zoom. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to have them look at me and I'm going to be able to see them. And I'm going to be able to describe everything that I am doing. I am a classically trained chef, and I'm going to make this work for them. So it went, and people came, and more people came. And I realized that I had to be descriptive, that everything I did would have to be audio described. Not only saying do this or do that, but to say, I am picking up my knife and I'm using my left hand. When you smell this, the caramelization should be at that level. I had to explain everything. It opened up my vocabulary. It just gave me a newness. It gave them a newness. People that weren't cooking before all of a sudden started cooking. They had more confidence in the kitchen. I wanted to allow them or give them the confidence to make the kitchen their friend again. And so it happened. The LA Times got a hold of what I was doing. They came in and wanted to look and see, wait a minute, how is a blind chef teaching blind individuals to cook on Zoom? Oh, we got to see this. They came in. They did a whole photo shoot. I ended up on the front page of the LA Times. After all these years traveling around the world, working my butt off, and then now I go blind. Now I'm on the front page. Then the Las Vegas Review Journal got a hold of it, the Las Vegas Sun, and then I got a call from CNN. CNN said, no, we got to come see it. They flew out from Atlanta, came into our home, set up, was actually a part of my Zoom cooking class. And FYI, that segment will be out in September. I'll let you guys all know. So all of these things, it led from one thing to the next, because as my vision is declining, I've had to reinvent myself because I knew what was deep inside. And as with you, we all have something deep inside. We all have an it factor. And you have to find that it factor. And sometimes you have to reinvent yourself. Just like Much Afraid, the character in Hind's Feet on High Places. She had to trust in herself, trust in the shepherd, and trust in those around her to build her feet, to climb upon the clefts of the high places. And all of us will journey to the high places, but we have to trust in ourselves and turn those obstacles into amazing, amazing opportunities. But those opportunities, they're not just for us. They're for our community. They're to build our brethren. So as we build ourselves, don't forget our brethren. So my beloved community, I love you. I want nothing more for you to grow and to develop and prosper. So may your obstacles be opportunities. May your stumbling blocks become stepping stones. And may you build up one another as we build the Federation. God bless you. And thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much. Are we able to call you Gina? Does your husband call you Gina? Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to come to the Palmetto State. We are family, and thank you so much for that.